Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable edition of Cattlecast with Jessica Trotter, Mari Garza, and Cheryl Lindemann.
Welcome back to the Reader's Roundtable edition of Cattlecast. I'm Jessica Trotter, and I'm joined at the mic by Marisela Garza and Cheryl Lindemann. Hey, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
It's been a whirlwind.
It is December. Yes. I don't know how we got here.
Lots of partying going on.
Yeah, lots of activity.
I mean, yeah.
Busyness.
Lots of busyness. Yeah. Well, when we talked about our topic for this episode, we maybe had a specific idea in mind. But as we prepped, I think we've ended up wringing as much meaning out of the phrase that we came up with as we possibly could. So our thought was reads for long nights and busy days. And I think we've pulled that every which way in our titles for today. I think we've got short and easy for our busy days. I think we've got books that are easy to pick up and put down. We've got a doorstop at least to dig into in those long nights, or titles that are just sort of is playing with the title and you know, bring light to the darkness in our long nights. So I personally think that's perfect. It's a fun use of our we always end up in an interesting place regardless of what our whatever we come up with as a topic.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start this time. The first book that I want to talk about is Golden Axe by Rio Cortez. This is a collection of poetry. It was long listed for the National Book Award. We've actually talked about Rio Cortez before because she is the author of the best-selling The ABCs of Black History.
Love that.
Yep.
That's a great title. But
this is a book of adult poetry, and it really explores, part of it really explores her family history. She calls them, I love this phrase, Afro-pioneers. So she has family that actually moved west and sort of homesteaded in, of all places, Utah, where a lot of people went to Kansas or farther across west. That's not actually what we find as a traditional stop for African-American communities as they were moving west, or at least not one that I was particularly aware of. And it is fraught with its own issues. There has been, over in the past, issues between the African-American community and the Mormon church. So, I mean, that's explored a little bit in her poetry. But it's also, it's African-Americans in the West. It's a meditation. There are sections that are just a meditation on our present, as we are now, and the problems that we have, and the positives that we have, and then also kind of a play in pop culture. This is one that if you look at some of the quotes on it, Roxane Gay pops in and to say her look at pop culture is really quite interesting. It's just a really fascinating, neat collection that I think people should know about. And again, it's one of those, it's appealing to that, you can pick it up, put it down, but it's also really, it's a small collection. It's something you could read in a day.
That's a beautiful cover.
Yes, it does. I honest to God, picked it up for the cover before I realized it was real.
Yeah.
I can't wait to read that.
Wow. Yeah. Well, moving to another poetry collection from another author that we've talked about quite a bit on the podcast, Joy Harjo put out a new collection this fall. It's Weaving Sundown in a Scarlet Light, 50 poems for 50 years. I wanted to mention, too, it has a foreword by another fantastic author, Sandra Cisneros. And this is, again, 50 poems from Joy Harjo's canon, starting from when she was just getting started with poetry, their very beginning into more recent poems. And Joy Harjo is a multi-year poet laureate, not anymore. Etta Limon is our poet laureate now, but she was from 2019 to 2022. She's a member of the Muscogee Creek Nation. And her poems, if you are not familiar, and I know I've talked about her a lot on the podcast before, but her poems are range from, there's a lot about the power of the ancestors. There's poems about the forest removal of the Muscogee Creeks to Oklahoma. And there are poems about life and death, nature, identity, current historical concerns of indigenous people. Just a beautiful collection. And one piece I just want to read from one of her, the last poems, is that it's called Without. Maybe then we will see the design of the two-minded creature and know why half the world fights righteously for greedy masters and the other half is nailing it all back together. I was just, you know, knocked over by that passage. So I could not recommend this more. Joy Harjo, Weaving Sundown in a Scarlet Light, 50 poems for 50 years. And one last piece about this book. Joy Harjo, I think, is a very accessible poet, too. Mm-hmm. She's a poet that you, if you're not, if you say, I don't really even like poetry, or I don't know, you know, this is a poet where she doesn't hold you so far away that you feel like, this is why I don't like poetry. I don't get it. You know what I mean? She has ways of pulling you in and drawing you in. She's one of those poets with that gift. So Joy Harjo, Weaving Sundown in a Scarlet Light.
And that one's on my list, right?
Well, I also have a book of poetry for children.
We do this without actually talking to each other, just so you know.
We all have a book on poetry. Let's put them together. They Only See the Outside, and this is by Callie Dacos. And this is a really interesting book for children. You know, you ever think about the mystery of, like, what you're really thinking or what is really inside and how difficult it is to convey? Well, this book just approaches so many different topics that little children might be, you know, having going on inside. And at a time when especially we talk about feelings or are trying to encourage children to express feelings and talk about feelings and not keep things bottled up, I thought this was a perfect, perfect book. This book, you know, the poems take on just having memories of your family, your friends, of grief, remembering a lost grandparent. There's a poem in there about losing a friend who has had chronic illness his whole life and he finally passes away. And the one that really struck me is On the Day My Dog Died. That's the title. On the day my dog died, I cried and cried and cried. This is my whole poem. There's nothing more to say. I cried and cried and cried on the day my dog died. Mm-hmm. And just like these feelings you can just sense for kids just wanting to linger over and express. I just really thought it was a very inspiring book to help children know they're not alone. They can feel these feelings and still be okay.
Mm-hmm. Good for use with teachers too.
Absolutely.
In a way, it was like writing prompts, yeah. Inspiring yeah. kids to write their own feelings.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, kind of jumping away from poetry, but still kind of maybe off of that title and sort of the feelings and dealing with our feelings and dealing with hard times and that sort of thing. This is maybe the most out there use of our topic, but I read The Light We Carry by Michelle Obama, which is a really inspirational set of reflections on her experiences. And it sort of examines the tools and habits she's developed and used to get herself through things. And it's just, it's really lovely. I mean, you get some really neat stories, an inside look. And some of it, she's talked or glossed over in her previous book, and she goes into more depth because she, you know, because she is looking at, well, what did I lean on to get through those moments, or what did I have to think about? Some of it's sort of like knowing that you have to face your fears, knowing that you have to listen and realize that what that thing is in the back of your head, you know, is telling you all of this stuff is your fear, and you need to know that first response. You need to think it through, you know, that sort of thing. I listened to most of this. She's wonderful. And for me, it was a lot of nodding along in the sense that it took me a lot of adulting to get to some of these places. So it'd be a perfect book for new adults, people starting in their careers, early on in their careers. It would have been lovely to have somebody say some of this stuff to me, even if I'm not getting it, but, you sort of step back and say, oh, that's what she meant when she said that. It might be really helpful to some people. And I really think this would be a comforting challenging, but comforting also read. It made me a nice gift too. It was just a neat read.
So my next title actually ties a little bit back to one of Madi's titles, when the poem that Madi read out loud. This one is called Good Grief on Loving Pets Here and Thereafter by E.B. Bartels. And this, when I saw this come through, when I actually was purchasing, I really flagged it to go back to. I have to say, as a nonfiction selector for cattle, that pet books are very, very popular. We have certain branches that are dog branches, but all across the board, dogs, cats, domestic pets are so popular with children, you know, children's books, but for adult books, memoirs, that sort of thing. And I found this one to be extremely unique. You know, there are books by Caitlin Doughty and other authors about rituals of death with humans, and there's a lot of interest around those. But this one actually is about rituals of death and just about death in general of pets. And I found that to be really notable and unique. I mean, a lot of memoirs will touch on the death of a pet, and that's part of the story. But this is more about, you know, as a culture, how much we love our pets, about the pet industry. Talks about that a lot, the numbers of people with pets and how the lengths that will go to care for pets. But that as a culture, in particular in America, we don't really have good rituals about death with pets. And so if you lose a pet, and you're grieving, there isn't sometimes the same support that you would get if you lost, you know, a human in your life. And so this talks about that. And it also talks about the author's experience growing up with a number of pets and some of the shame she has about how she cared for a pet and it didn't go well and it died. Or, you know, a betta fish in college and how it brought all of her roommates together. So just these anecdotes, wonderful stories. They're all in little bits, which fits our theme because I think you can dip in and out of this book and read a chapter at a time. It goes to Japan, goes to a really beautiful pet cemetery that actually has a ceremony for death for pets, goes to Kentucky to, you know, Secretariat's grave. It moves all across. And tons of different pets are covered, not just dogs and cats, which most books focus on those, but it is fish. It goes to hamsters. You know, there's all sorts of stories in here. So I think this is a great book for a pet lover. It's sad, but it's more about memorializing. It's more about that love of pets more than about, you know, about sadness. It's more about how do we memorialize these pets, and gives readers that room to like understand that it's okay to feel that way and to maybe think about their own rituals for honoring their pets when they do pass on. So Good Grief on Loving Pets Here and Hereafter by E.B. Bartels.
Very cool.
Okay. So I have a very short adult nonfiction title that I want to talk about. It's called How to Keep House While Drowning, A Gentle Approach to Cleaning and Organizing. And this is by Casey Davis. Ah, wow. This was really, in some ways, a stunner of a book, as compact and short as it was. It is, you know, there are lots of books out there about organizing and cleaning, and everybody has a formula. And I'm not going to say that this person does not. I would say that she really gives more of a philosophy. Casey Davis is a counselor. And she works with a lot of people, I think, who are struggling with fatigue, depression, anxiety, ADHD, a lot of conditions that might affect how well or not well you clean your house. And one of the things that she repeats over and over again is that cleaning is not a moral issue. It is, you are not immoral if your kitchen is not spotless every single day. You know, she talks about how your care tasks, which would be, you know, the things that you do each day to take care of yourself and your home, they don't all have to be done at once so that everything is perfect at once. She just repeats quite a bit, like just being slow and gentle, quiet with yourself, really releasing people from any sense of shame that, you know, people may have received growing up about, you know, if you're not clean, then you're not worthy, whatever. I found it really, really moving. And in fact, I actually listened to the book. It's three CDs. I listened to the first CD like three times. It was just so stunning in some ways for me personally. And the last thing I just want to say about the book is that she also repeats this, you know, remember that your space, you know, you don't exist for your space. Your space exists for you. You don't have to take care of it. It takes care of you. So don't fret. That was my book of the month for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And the running joke around us is that I've had that book. I had that book. It was staring at me. I'm looking at it. It's tiny. And I still didn't get to it because guilt stuff, that stuff. So now it's back on my list again.
Yeah.
I really do want to read that.
That is a really popular book in our library system right now. It's been checking out holds all the time on it. And it really is countercultural.
For sure.
I feel like I've read almost all those books. You know what I mean? And there's not one to me that's quite like that.
Right.
I mean, that is such a different argument and so validating of the human at the center of it rather than shaming.
Right. Right. Or striving for perfection.
Yeah.
Right. So again, it's back on my list. So I'm the one that brought The Doorstop. I really want everybody to know about Babel by R.F. Kuang, Rebecca Kuang. This is a follow-up to her award-winning Poppy War series. It's just deeply detailed, engrossing standalone. It's historical, dark academia, fantasy. It's set in an alternate 1830s British Empire. It follows the story of an orphan Cantonese boy who takes the name Robin Swift. He's swept off to England, and there's a very strange and weird story developing about his origins that he's sort of seeing happen. And he's trained in Greek and Latin and set up to basically be entered into Oxford to study language at the Royal Institute of Translation, or Babel. Kuang is a translator, Marshall scholar, degrees from Cambridge and Oxford, is now studying at Yale, and she's using her background to scrutinize linguistics, history, politics, culture, customs. She's ultimately really looking at colonialism and empire. It's giant. It's lovely. The audiobook is fabulous. But it is one of those things, if you don't like this is going to be hard for you, but it's one of those things. It has footnotes. They are, some of them are like deeply nerdy language footnotes, and some of them are snarky, you know, well, you know, that Dickens guy didn't really like people of color. You know, it's sort of, it's really interesting, the side notes and the, but it's just a very obvious, deep love of language and a look at how language is used in empire. So I really think people should check it out.
Sounds really good. Something reminds me of A.S. Byatt with that, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's like the literary piece or something like that. I don't know. That looks really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, I will tell you, I am not all the way through it. I'm not a lot of the way through it, but it is... But I know that I've been through it. I know the story. I know where it's going. It's just really well done. So
excellent. I have to end here from the books that I have. I have two books about libraries and the love of libraries. And being a librarian, of course, I'm always drawn to these books. But I think that not just librarians would love books about libraries. The two that I have are Nikki Giovanni's A Library and Library Girl, How Nancy Pearl Became America's Most Celebrated Librarian. And both of these are love letters to libraries, Nikki Giovanni being the multi-award-winning acclaimed poet. So this is really a poem, beautifully illustrated by Aaron K. Robinson. It's bright, it's lively, and it's... like the best poetry. It's sort of literal, but also very metaphorical about not just the library, but about what the library brings to the life of the individual, in this particular instance, a young girl who goes to the library and where the books can take her and take her life and take her in, you know, in her mind and her imaginings. And there's an excellent afterword in this book about Nikki Giovanni's experience going to the library. She did go to a segregated library. It was a Carnegie branch, and it was a colored library, and she was not allowed really to have the books in one of the other branches. But her librarian, Mrs. Whitehead, would get the books for her. And she reflects at the end of the book and thanks Mrs. Whitehead for the wonderful service, or Mrs. Long, rather, for the wonderful service that she had. But she realizes that Mrs. Long must have gone through something to get those books to her. So this is a, you know, powerful, beautiful book. And I love these types of books because if you're checking this out from the library, you can reflect with the child about what the library means to them, and then also look back on history and realize that libraries were not, the access was not the same for everyone in our history. And then Library Girl is about Nancy Pearl, who is a sort of famous librarian, and she even has an action figure that has been created after her. And this is actually a Michigan story because her library branch was the, it's a Francis Parkhurst branch of the Detroit Public Library. This is about, this is a story that I think a lot of kids can relate to because it's sort of about being really nerdy about something, being really passionate, and even getting possibly teased for it. And she was a library girl. She went to the library, checked out scads of books, all different topics. It's also about the relationship with Mrs. Whitehead, her librarian in this book, and about how Mrs. Whitehead sort of saw something really special in her and said, hey, you know what? Do you want to give a report to the other kids about horse books? And so she was terrified. Yeah.
That's awesome.
There's like this journey with her model horse toys. And she, you know, journeys to the library. She has a mishap and mayhem, but she finally gets there. And then after she gives the report, her peers, she's opened up their eyes to the joys of books and reading, and they start to accept her. And so it's really a story, I think, about following what you love and really embracing your own geeky self and whatever you love and turning it into your passion. And look, she is probably still considered one of the most famous librarians. So yep. This was the spark that started that.
Nice.
Yeah, so Library Girl, Nancy Pearl's story.
Well, I have a couple of more books. I have a children's picture book, which is actually a children's nonfiction book. The title is When the Sky Glows, and it's by Nell Cross Beckerman, and it's illustrated by the amazing David Litchfield. And this is a book that approaches different things that happen in the sky. He starts out... the author starts out by talking about lightning and how in some places like Lake Maracaibo in Venezuela, it's like considered the lightning capital of the world because you've got all this lightning that is going off with thunder, and it's because of static electricity. And so it's the spread one right after the other. You know, he talks, there's a section on fireflies, the solar eclipses that we occasionally get to see in Michigan, or maybe every few hundred years, I should say. Mm-hmm. Rainbows. I didn't know Hawaii is considered the rainbow state. That escaped me. I was like, really? Oh, I had to look that up. And, just the different ways the sky will light up based on things right. happening in the with the weather, or animals doing their thing. So that's I really so cool. really enjoy this. I would say it's kind of maybe like grade 2, right on up to grade 4. They would have no problem reading it. But even as a parent, reading it aloud with a child, taking it, talking about nature and the sky that we see outside and the many different colors and forms right. it can take. I really like that one.
So cool.
And then the last one that I have is actually for cozy nights. I love short stories, and very often, I don't know about y'all, I get really, really tired, and I'm like,
yeah. mm-hmm.
okay, I've got about 20 minutes in me, maybe 30 minutes to try to get some reading in, and this is a perfect book for that. It's Scattered Showers by Rainbow Rowell. And it's a collection of 9 short stories. And actually 4 of them have already been published. When I was reading, I'm like, I think this seems familiar. And I went back and like, oh, yeah, okay. But there's, you know, stories in there about, you know, the new year, winter. The one that really stuck with me is actually, it's kind of really more a new adult mm-hmm. sort of story, because the setting is a college campus. And there's these two people on, you know, two different floors, and one of them's playing her music just way too loud. And the guy starts to give her CDs. And the thing is that she's just really broken. She's just broken up with a boyfriend, so she's really, really miserable. And it's like this whole, like, dorm, college campus dorm. And it was very nostalgic. I mean, for those of us who experienced a dorm situation at university, I'm thinking of, you know, MSU and mm-hmm. my days at McDonald Hall and Landon Hall. Just like, it's just really, really magical in that way to, you know, think about it. But it was funny, very funny. And also, like, I really appreciated seeing the relationship between the two strangers, where the guy's like, look, your music is too loud. And he starts slipping her music CDs. And so you can sort of tell, like, I couldn't quite figure out if this was supposed to be set way back when. I figured it was because of the CD aspect.
Yeah.
But I remember when people would make CDs for others. And
yeah.
mm-hmm. So he did that. So I highly recommend Rainbow Roll. I was really glad to read it.
Cool. All right. Like I said, I think this is a great, great set of stories, set of range of titles to express the theme that we were kind of thinking of. Yeah. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.